Welcome to the Armed American Radio, December 16th, 2012, National Radio Broadcast. I'd like to dedicate this broadcast to the victims, all 27 victims, of the Connecticut mass shooting in Newtown, in particular, the lives of the children who were lost. This entire broadcast was dedicated to finding a solution with some of the best guests this nation offers, some of the greatest experts and minds in the field, including Lieutenant Dave Grossman, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, author of More Guns, Less Crime, and famed economist John Lott, head of, executive director of, the Gun Owners of America, Mr. Larry Pratt, and gun rights activist, author, and historian Clayton Kramer. Enjoy the broadcast. It was hard-hitting, tough to do, but one of the best Armed American radio shows ever.
Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Been a hot show today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've been paying careful attention. We had John Lott on in the last hour. And if that didn't open your eyes to what's getting ready to come down the pike, I don't know what else to tell you. John's right. That's why I've been saying to you over and over again, the debate about the Second Amendment is over. This isn't about the Second Amendment. That debate is over. It was over December 15th, 1791, when the Bill of Rights was ratified. That debate is over. This country is a country of guns, and they are coming after him. Didn't believe me then? You can believe me now. Turn on the news. And they've got the mainstream media behind them, the Obama bootlicking mainstream media behind them. Don't take my word for it. I told you, as did many of my guests previously.
You know what? I hate to jump in right quick.
I want you to. Go ahead.
I have been watching literally since Friday when this broke, since today before I came to the studio, MSNBC, that is all they have talked about.
Oh, sure it is. That's their agenda. That's what they're going to do. Listen, we keep upbeat here. I want to make it very clear. The Second Amendment exists. Obama is not a dictator. As much as he wants to be, he's not. We have a constitution. Our constitution is greater than one man. I believe that. The authorities are not going to come pounding on your door yet. We'll see how this debate plays itself out over the coming months. No one's coming knocking on your door. But they are pushing legislation right now. And it's just the beginning. We all know what their ultimate goal is. Feinstein. If I could do it, I would. Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them in. Mm-hmm. I would do it. Mm-hmm. That's their ultimate goal. The Brady campaign et al. Can't accomplish anything that they talk about without an outright ban. That's their ultimate goal. We know that. So I hope you're paying careful attention. Clayton Kramer joins me right now. He is a historian, an author, a software engineer. And I'm bringing this, I love this, this is off of his Wikipedia page. He played an important early role in documenting errors in the book Arming America by Michael Belisiles. You remember that. He's discussed it here on the show in the past. A book that was later proven to be based on fraudulent research. His work has been cited in United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas in United States versus Emerson. In 1996, while working on his master's thesis, Kramer read a paper by Belisiles on early gun laws, published in the Journal of American History, and he since debunked it. He also writes a regular column on gun owners' rights and related issues for Shotgun News. And get this, besides his research and publications on gun owners' rights and American history, Kramer also has a strong personal interest in the treatment of the mentally ill. He is critical of the recent policy of making involuntary commitment of seriously mentally ill persons extremely difficult. This all ties in because of the mental health debate. that we're now getting ready to have as well. Clayton Kramer, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you back, man. I appreciate you coming on such short notice.
Well, thank you. I probably should see that someone updates that Wikipedia page because there's been a lot more than just the Northern District of Texas. There's also the U.S. Supreme Court in both D.C. versus Heller and McDonald versus Chicago cited my work in coming to their decisions.
And I knew that, and I should have said that. I apologize for that. So hold me responsible for that. But, yeah, definitely update that page if you would.
Okay. I've never had anything to do with the page. I've only looked at it once or twice. Hey, amazingly enough, I didn't write my own Wikipedia page. That would be just a little too egotistical.
Yeah, they frown on that.
Yeah.
Clayton, question for you. Is mental health, some kind, you know, the press, of course, is all over this. The mainstream
in a sense,
media.
That's progress. They're acknowledging there's a mental health component
right.
to this. And I think the thing that is interesting to me is we don't really have quite as much information as we should have yet on this particular incident, but we do know something which is true for the majority of the mass murders that have taken place in the United States in the last 35 years. And that is that they are done by people with previous histories of mental health problems that are already known to police, to mental health authorities, to family and friends. These are generally people who in 1960 would likely have been hospitalized before they got around to killing anyone.
Right.
What makes this particular incident so disturbing is many of his classmates, friends and family described him as mentally ill. But then they're also saying Asperger's syndrome, which is really not in the normal sense a severe mental illness. It's a personality disorder.
A form of autism, isn't it?
Yes. Think of it as a very high-functioning form of autism. And the thing that's disturbing is that historically there has not been an association between Asperger's and these sort of violent mass murder sort of things. Emotional regulation is, in fact, a common problem of Asperger's, and both my wife and I have had students in our classes with Asperger's syndrome who, you know, in some cases you could see there were some difficulties controlling emotions. But as I said, I find myself wondering from reading the descriptions of what this young man was like, if in fact Asperger's was the correct diagnosis, or if perhaps the family didn't want people freaked out and perhaps made the claim that it was Asperger's. But as I said, you know, medicine is an inexact science, and psychiatric medicine is an even more inexact science. And I have seen situations where diagnoses for mental problems have been wrong.
Well, let me ask you a question. How can that possibly be? When I saw through all the channels I was flipping through mm-hmm. on Fox and CNN and MSDNC, we'll say, ABC, CBS, ABC being Appease the Brady campaign. How can that possibly be, though, Kramer? Because I saw experts diagnosing this person when they thought he was the wrong person.
Well, and it's always more difficult to diagnose people that are dead.
Yeah. Well, it's also a little bit impossible to diagnose somebody when you think you're diagnosing somebody and it
yeah.
turns out to be his brother
yeah.
who was several hundred miles away.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously we've had an enormous change of information since this was first reported. The initial report said it was all done with handguns and the rifle was left in the car. Now they're saying it was all done with a rifle. I really don't know the full story, and I suspect the inevitable fog of confusion that happens after a tragedy like this. It will probably be a few days before we have a little bit of a comprehensive piece of data, but. The one thing that's pretty clear here is that there was clearly something pretty seriously mentally ill wrong with this young man. No matter how bad things are, you know, no matter how much you may hate your mother, I can see why people who are angry commit horrible crimes like murdering a parent, but that has nothing to do with going off to a school and murdering a bunch of complete strangers.
Yeah, we saw responsible journalists. Again, the mainstream media telling us that the mother worked at the school. Well, no, she wasn't a teacher. Well, she was a substitute teacher. Well, no, she wasn't. The photographs they had up was his brother, not him.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the school, the guns. First we heard it was a Glock, a SIG, and then there was an AR-15. The AR-15 was in the truck. The medical examiner says all of the wounds. I watched the live medical examiner. Terribly, very difficult to watch that news conference. I have to say that that was probably the toughest I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine having been there, having to deliver that news conference. Very professional from that man who with a very, very difficult job to do. And he plainly stated that every wound he saw, minimum of 3 shots, maximum of 11 to the victims, were rifle, close mm-hmm. range. Anybody knows what a rifle shot will do. These are devastating wounds.
Yeah. Yep.
And yet the media is talking about this. You know, I actually witnessed this, Clayton. This is very disturbing to me during that news conference when some bonehead in the media, and by the way, we'll make that bonehead the bonehead of the week, who said, "What were the children victims wearing?" He looked down. They're first graders, he said. They're wearing cute clothes that first graders wear when you send them off to school, just like you do or your grandparents send their grandchildren to school often. And it wasn't 15 minutes later.
Was this the correspondent from Women's Wear Daily?
What's that?
Was this the correspondent from Women's Wear Daily?
No idea. All I can tell you is I hear Fox News reporter come back on a few minutes later saying, and you heard, you know, how they go through they just tell you what you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she's repeating now that something along the lines, I think it was Fox, I may be wrong, maybe another channel, who said they were wearing cute little clothes like Hello Kitty. He never said Hello Kitty. This is how this starts. When we come back, Clayton, we'll dig a little bit deeper into this. It is just horribly disturbing all the way around. Ladies and gentlemen, Clayton Kramer, historian, gun expert, history. This is Armed American Radio. We'll be right back.
Handguns Magazine calls it Pocket Thunder. The new CM40 from Carr Arms packs the powerful 40 Smith & Wesson in a firearm measuring only 4 inches tall and with a 3.1-inch barrel length. It weighs in at only 15.8 ounces. With a retail price of $517, the new CM40 from Carr Arms is Pocket Thunder indeed. To purchase the Carr Arms CM40, visit your local dealer or visit CarrArms at kahr.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Beware the man with one gun, for he probably knows how to use it. Never has this been more true than with the Ruger Gunsight Scout Rifle. The one rifle to have, if you can have only one. It's the perfect lightweight, hard-hitting, do-it-all bolt-action rifle. Affordable, versatile, and reliable. Delivers 10 rounds of .308 Winchester performance. It's compact, lightweight, and accommodates a host of optics. Visit Ruger.com/scoutrifle or your local firearms retailer to learn more. The Ruger Gunsight Scout Rifle. It's mine, and it's American.
The Ruger American Rifle, an American legend is born. The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. It features power bedding integral bedding blocks for outstanding accuracy, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger for a crisp and user-adjustable 3 to 5 pound trigger pull, a flush-fit 4-round rotary magazine for smooth, reliable feeding, and a 3-lug bolt with 70-degree throw for ample scope clearance and fast follow-up shots. The Ruger American Rifle, another American-made product from Ruger.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The new TaxLide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The TaxLide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the TaxLide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by ArmsList.com, the net's largest free gun classifieds. If you have a gun you'd like to buy or sell, visit ArmsList.com today. Welcome back.
Do it. Head over to ArmsList.com now. Visit the net's largest free gun classifieds. Welcome back to the show. The penny gun auction. I'm sitting here. I couldn't join in on this even if I was allowed to. On this computer, because it's so slow, I'm constantly having to refresh it.
That's just wrong.
But this is the one that also says that the browser is so updated that I need to move to a modern browser.
Hey,
modern browser. Say again?
They can't help that.
Yeah, I know. The Ruger six-pack auction is going off right now. It's now at, let me refresh very quick, if you have up to $10.39. The winner will receive their pick of the Ruger six-pack, we're calling it, at Penny Gun Auction. Of course, Ruger, great sponsor of Armed American Radio, as well as Penny Gun Auction. Notice how that combination, that might not have been by accident. We actually do think here.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Disturbing program today, I have to tell you, hard-hitting radio, no question about it. Not easy to do, but must be done. We're on the front lines here on this show by very nature of what we do and who we are. We will be on a media blitz tomorrow as well, have been since Friday, beginning at 7:05 a.m. in Athens, Alabama, moving to stations in Virginia, West Virginia, and across the country. As it stands right now, closing out this discussion will be being had. I think the latest interview I'm doing is tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. There's some television involved in there, too. Head over to Facebook.com/Armed American Radio later this evening or tomorrow during the day, depending on when you're picking up the show. I will have updated information on those interviews should you be interested in hearing me continue to have this discussion. Clayton Kramer, noted historian and author, welcome back to the show. How are you, brother?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk mental health for just a second, if we can. We can kind of continue where we left off before the break. You know, I'm a little bit shocked here. I want you to educate me a little bit. I know mental health, we talk about how we're not doing, I hear the media say we're not doing anything about it. You know, when I was a kid, we lobotomized people.
Yep, and there was a reason it was done. It was because you must be older than me then, because what happened was is the introduction of antipsychotic medications like Thorazine in the mid-1950s meant that the traditional reason for the lobotomy to deal with very violent patients that would otherwise have to be chained down was no longer necessary. Drugs like Thorazine pretty much made that sort of thing unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we had an awful lot of people in mental hospitals in the mid-1950s, about 550,000 people were...
Let me correct my date then. I think I was referring to the movies about it. Let's go back to the Cuckoo's Nest, if we will.
Yeah, well, you know, there are apparently a fair number of judges, once psychiatrists tell me, who do not realize that One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is not a documentary.
Right.
It was actually written by Ken Casey as a result of going to work in a mental hospital while taking LSD. You might get the impression that this influenced the reality of his book in some way. After all, we know that LSD doesn't have any curious effects on one's perceptions of reality.
No, not at all.
The difficulty is that we started in the 1960s and 1970s, started to make a very conscious decision to empty out the state mental hospitals. And there were a lot of really good intentions involved there. One of the problems was that everyone said, well, you know, we'll release these people who have lost touch with reality in many cases, and they'll be taken care of in a community mental health setting. And if that had actually happened, we probably wouldn't be in quite the mess we're in today. But that isn't what happened. Many of those community mental health systems simply never existed. They were never created. One of the other problems is that a fair number of people with most severe forms of psychosis, like schizophrenia, who are disproportionately involved in these mass murders, in fact, they're a clear majority, many of them went off their medications after leaving the hospital for a few weeks and decided that the medicines were an attempt to poison them. And admittedly, some of the early medicines had some pretty nasty side effects. And so we have a society where lots and lots of people are living on the streets, many of them homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, one of them goes ahead and comes up with some elaborate delusion based on the hallucinations they're having, and they decide that they have to go on a shooting rampage. Sometimes it's a rampage with a sword or a knife. Those at least don't tend to have very high body counts, and so they don't tend to be national news stories. We know that James Holmes in Aurora, he was sufficiently bad off that his psychiatrist attempted to get him hospitalized a week or two before the theater shootings.
Well, we see this, you know, after the fact in virtually every one of these cases.
Yeah.
Let's discuss social media for a moment, modern technology, and the role that this plays in how we maybe can detect in advance some of this. I'm not so sure we can. I made a comment on a radio program. I think one of the hosts asked me yesterday, you know, are we supposed to be watching each other? Is this 1984? Is this A Clockwork Orange? Remember that movie?
To me, the correct response is, am I my brother's keeper? And yes,
well,
the
actual analogy he gave me was, you got a neighbor who's running around his backyard wearing a T-shirt and his underwear squawking like a chicken. He's allowed to do that. Does that mean he's going to shoot up a school? Do we turn him into authority? What do we do?
Well, I can tell you that up until about 1965, in most of the United States, if someone made a habit of doing that, people would ask him questions, and if he got really bizarre answers, they might well call the police, and that person might end up in a hospital.
And today?
And not so much because we were concerned about public safety, although that was a beneficiary, but because we were concerned about that person. One of the reasons why in the 1960s the standard of proof that was used for involuntary commitment was preponderance of evidence. The idea was, we're not locking this person up because they're a criminal. We're locking this person up for treatment because we are concerned that they represent a threat to themselves. And by the 1970s, there's a couple of U.S. Supreme Court decisions where there's a different view that says, well, you know, this is a severe deprivation of someone's liberty. We need to have a very high standard of proof on this. And the net effect was to make it very, very difficult to hospitalize people who had not actually yet done something really, really dangerously crazy.
You know, let's bring Facebook into this. You know, this guy's got a Facebook account. I don't want to speak too much to that because we're finding this out now. I don't want to be what I blame the media to be, but we often see this where we have
one of the mass murderers in Canada a few years ago had made
a paper trail
Facebook page what he was about to go do
with a manifesto, if you will. We see the matter, you know, we always find the manifesto after the fact,
right?
You know, this type of thing. We're going to run out of time here. I'm being told we've got about 20 seconds. I want to continue this discussion because I want to give you an example of what I saw at Los Angeles International Airport at LAX a couple years ago. As I was sitting in the airport waiting for my flight, had a couple hours to kill. I was at a little taqueria there at one of the gates. And I watched a family walk in. Clear, it looked like they were going on vacation. Great-looking mom. Good-looking father sitting there. Two kids, 8, 10 years old, maybe 10, 12 years old. Mother in her iPhone. Father in the BlackBerry. Two kids playing DS games. They never interacted the entire hour I watched them. I don't want to be that family. We'll discuss what that means when we come back.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're offering a risk-free trial of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9613. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9613. That's 1-800-487-9613. Call 1-800-487-9613.
My name is Jennifer. I'm 44, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
My name is Kim. I'm 47, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
I'm Jane. I'm 52, and I lost a ton of weight with the Amberin program. Even my belly fat is gone, and it was so easy.
Thousands of women over 40 who used to struggle with weight gain are having incredible success with the Amberin program. That's because Amberin focuses on hormonal balance. The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40, especially during menopause, is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But the Amberin program balances your hormones naturally, making losing weight surprisingly easy. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of unbalanced hormones, like hot flashes, irritability, and sleeplessness. Call in the next 15 minutes to receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
You know, weekdays and holidays are for catching up on sleep, right? Well, wrong. According to a nationwide Sleep Number survey, more than half of adult Americans do not get more sleep on the weekends. What you really need is a better night's sleep every night, like the deep restorative sleep you get on a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number is 95 to 100, and Mrs. Bennett's Sleep Number is, still confidential privileged information. The Sleep Number bed's exclusive dual-air technology lets you adjust your bed to your ideal firmness. Each side is adjustable, making it the perfect bed for couples. You'll only find the Sleep Number bed at a Sleep Number store. Queen mattresses start at just $699. Right now, you can enjoy the lowest prices of the season on the bed that can change your life and sleeping habits. Save an incredible $300 to $1,000 on selected bed sets. Hurry, the sale ends July 8th. There are 400 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find yours today by calling 1-800-339-1101. That number again, 1-800-339-1101. Don't forget to tell them I sent you.
This
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed. Doing something a little bit different in today's broadcast. The roundtable has been preempted, if you will, to continue our incredibly important discussion across the nation today that we're bringing to you relative to the atrocity committed by evil in Connecticut. And we're, you know, trying to get a grasp on this from our perspective, not Feinstein's, not Schumer's, not the knee-jerk liars who are feeding you the crap sandwich that gun control is and hoping you'll take your medicine because they say so. We're going beyond that here, and we're telling you the truth, something the mainstream media just doesn't want to do anymore.
Mm-mm.
Unless they're towing the Obama line. We're on to them. We know what's happening, and we will continue to have this discussion on our terms, not theirs. This is Armed American Radio. Welcome back to the show. Clayton Kramer, pleasure to have you here. I want to continue this discussion with you on kind of the lines that I left off with when we closed out the break. I went to the last break, and that was that I sat there at LAX and I watched this family. I watched the mother in a Crackberry. I watched the father in an iPhone. I watched the two kids, the DS games, sitting there at the table. Absolutely zero interaction whatsoever until the waiter came to the table and took their order, and then they went right back to their devices. This was a couple years ago, and I thought, I don't want to be this person. And it reminded me of a business partner I had a number of years ago who, among many goofy things he was capable of, actually made the very prophetic statement, I'm telling you, man, this internet, all these devices, this is going to be the downfall of this culture, brother. And you know what? He was right, Clayton. What role does this have to play?
Well,
in this atrocity.
If we had had a rising murder rate, not just these tragedies, but something indicative of a general social collapse, I would agree. There are many aspects of what's going on in our culture that I am not at all happy with. But the fact is, our murder rates now are about a half of what they were in 1980. We're back to where we were in the early 60s. So there are a lot of things that I'm not happy about. But it's hard to see that. It's showing up in violent crime rates. And there's one category of violent crime where we do have a serious problem, and that, not as a percentage of the total murders, but because of how terrifying it is, and that's these random acts of mass murder. And
that's where I want to focus this. Let's direct this attention here. I want to make the point, and I think it's important that we stress the point, Clayton, on Armed American Radio, that guns and schools have coexisted in this country for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
That this is a fairly recent phenomena since about the early to mid-70s where we've had this issue. And I would also like to point out that there was far less gun control, as you know it today, prior to the Gun Control Act in 1968, and we did not have this level of atrocity ever.
No,
why?
Because these people were hospitalized usually before they got to that point.
Ah, okay. Let's discuss that again. I don't want to give his name. Would the Connecticut monster, excuse me, have been hospitalized if this were 1955?
We really don't know. We do know that many of these other people that have committed similar sorts of crimes over the last 25 years many of them would certainly have been hospitalized because of their history of strange behavior, previous criminal activities. And it was only because of deinstitutionalization that they were not being hospitalized.
But don't we have more means to determine that today with Facebook and with cell phones and with email accounts and this incredible level of communication that we have today that didn't exist back then, that we can spot this earlier?
Back then we had friends and family.
Oh, that cared about each other.
Yeah, and even today, there's a lot of people that care very deeply about others that are around them that are beginning to have problems. You may recall there was a mass murder at the Cafe Racer in Seattle. It was almost, I guess it was May now.
Yeah, the Internet Cafe.
Right. As it turned out, the shooter actually had a carry permit. He had a significant history of mental health problems. His parents had made several attempts to have him hospitalized because he was schizophrenic and mentally ill. He had a great set of public defenders who kept, every time he was charged with a violent crime, managed to get him off. And this is someone who in 1960 would not have had a carry permit. For one thing, he probably would have been hospitalized well before he actually got around to committing a crime. His parents' concerns would have led a court to go ahead and hospitalize him for treatment. This is true for not all of the other cases, but certainly for a great many of them. The guy that shot up a church in Fort Worth, Texas, back about 1998, that led to Texas changing the law to allow concealed carry in churches. This is a person who was known to the neighbors to have something terribly wrong. He had been writing bizarre, frightening letters to newspaper reporters, suggesting that he was a serial killer that had not been captured yet. And nothing was done about it until he was dead, because he had killed all these people in a church and committed suicide. The guy that shot up the U.S. Capitol in 1999, he had a long history of in and out and in and out of mental hospitals. His family knew that he was seriously mentally ill, and they could not get anything done about it.
Is that surprising to you?
After having done the research for my newest book, My Brother Ron, I'm not in the least bit surprised.
Is the ACL? Let's go to the ACLU. Is this something that we're just allowed to get away with now? That's being protected by groups like the ACLU.
Well, the ACLU was actually a surprisingly late participant in this perfect storm of bad public policy. A lot of the people that pushed it originally were full of really good intentions, and they had all sorts of wonderful theories about how this was going to work. But you know, one of them finally admitted, we were just putting these theories together on a National Institute of Health campus with no idea how it would actually work. The ACLU, when they did finally get involved, the attorney that led that project, who has since died, admitted later that his objective was to make it so difficult for states to hospitalize people with mental illness problems that they would effectively stop trying. And he got pretty darn close to what he was trying for.
Clayton, we had access to firearms that was easier than today.
We had access to high-capacity magazine weapons.
I found
an ad in Life magazine from 1954 when Browning offered the Browning High Power for sale.
Yep. That's right. Great gun, by the way.
Yeah, in fact, when I used to have to go to the law library in San Francisco, that's what I carried on my way to the law library. Colt AR-15 was available for sale to civilians starting in 1964. M1 carbines are a fairly common post-World War II civilian weapon. These are all high-capacity weapons, and yet we didn't have these sort of problems. When there is one of these random acts of mass murder committed at the University of Texas in 1966, I think it is a shocking thing because we just hadn't had that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in 1984 with James Huberty at the McDonald's in San Ysidro,
right. We
then suddenly have a whole bunch of these incidents to take place, and things that had been formerly shocking no longer shock us because they've become so common. In spite of the fact that our murder rates overall have fallen
the
last few years, this problem is not going away until we start to acknowledge that this was a terrible mistake we made. And we're spending the money not on mental hospitals. We're spending it on drawing chalk marks around bodies, around prosecuting mentally ill offenders, and then sending them to prison because they're going to prison. They're not going into mental hospitals, and they're going to prison for 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of that is enormous.
Yeah, it is, as on society as a whole, for a lot of different reasons. We will continue this fascinating discussion with Clayton Kramer here on the Armed American Radio Network after these messages. Don't go away. It's powerful stuff.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America. And we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com. The classic design of the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistol is back. Manufactured by IWI, Israel Weapons Industries, and designed to exacting Israeli military toughness and reliability specs, the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistols are in a class all their own. These world-famous semi-automatic pistols are available in .44 Magnum or .50 AE calibers. Magnum Research is a car arms company. To find a dealer near you, please visit Car Arms at car.com. That's K-A-H-R.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
On July 20th, 2012, a mass shooting occurred at the Century Movie Theater in Aurora, Colorado. My name is Sean, a.k.a. Shanto from the Armed American Radio Show. This shooting sparked a national debate on guns and gun laws here in our country. As a lawful gun owner myself, I felt a need to produce a free DVD called Gun Laws, a National Debate. Get your copy now at RadioFactor.net. That's RadioFactor.net. And remember, the Second Amendment is not debatable.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
I had to shift again. This seat in here is ridiculously. Let me get that Glock move. There we go. I apologize for that. It's all 17 plus one in the pipe.
Wow.
And that.
I just had to rush and put my headphones on because I wanted to hear that great intro.
I just got my combat focus shooting certificate in the mail.
Nice.
From Rob's company the other day.
Very nice.
Yeah, make sure you visit Combat Focus Shooting and Rob Pincus and pick up his new Counter Ambush DVD set. You can visit that. You can pick that up. It's selling like hotcakes, as we all knew it would. You can pick that up at usconcealedcarry.com. Just hit the store link and go in and pick that up. Soon you'll be able to pick up the Best of Armed American Radio CD Volume 1 as well. We'll have that information for you. In today's day and age, we might as well just give it to you on a little USB thing. Who knows? But we're continuing now a conversation with Clayton Kramer. Fascinating conversation, Clayton. Welcome back to the show, and I really appreciate you joining me on such very short notice. I think I literally asked you on the show a couple hours, 3 hours before I left for the studio, so thank you.
Well, it was either that or, you know, I ended up having a conversation with Radio New Zealand a little before you.
I saw that on the website. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Oh, well, it was only about 5 minutes. I was kind of surprised how little time we spent, but oh well.
Yeah, what are you going to say? I got barraged with media requests, as you can imagine, on Friday and Saturday, and tomorrow they're lined up. They're still coming in as I sit here. I see one canceled, which was at 7:40 a.m., but the 7:05 one is still there. So that's going to be a very, very long night and a very long day tomorrow because, Clayton, it's vital that,
the
truth get out.
Feel free to redirect any of your overflow onto me. I've only got one thing scheduled for tomorrow morning.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll definitely put your name in the hopper because this word needs to get out there.
Right.
You know, I had Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman on in the first hour, and he was kind enough to get here 15 minutes earlier and give me the full 45 minutes. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he is on Fox and Friends again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the information that you hear here, you're now hearing on the quote-unquote mainstream media, and it's vital. As we heard from John Lott in hour two, his fears that this, you know, clearly this is very real. He believes if the vote were held today that this would pass both houses of Congress, that a new ban would pass both houses of Congress. It's very real.
Yep.
And, the mental health issue that we're talking about is being tossed in the mix as well, too.
Yep. People panic at times like this because their emotions are raw.
Well, they're also being spoon-fed. And the combination there is very, very dangerous. Because people are looking for some type of security. We saw this after 9/11, you probably wrote extensively about this, but this nation was brought to her knees, literally, by 19 individuals with box cutters. With box cutters. And what did we see? We saw a flood of firearm purchases, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I was asked about this on a radio program yesterday or the day before. Today, I think, in Minneapolis, the same thing. Why do we see this? People are trying to. It's incidents like this that remind us and bring forth, I believe, you know, thoughts of our own mortality and our vulnerability. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and especially children.
We went through this
after Patrick Purdy shot up that schoolyard in Stockton. People react. They react badly to their own fear, but they react even worse to fear for their children.
Now, unfortunately, some politicians are going to exploit that, and some have even used the word itself, exploit. It's just despicable. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old I've mentioned on the show a couple of times, especially today. It sickens me. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about it. It's hard to even fathom, and it's unfortunate. You know, I have to be able to talk about it, but you can feel your mind go into that state of denial as a self-defense mechanism, Clayton, and it's very difficult to comprehend. I think the hardest news conference I've ever watched in my life was that very brave medical examiner out of Farmington, Connecticut. I can't imagine. And somebody asked him how he's coping with it. He says, "I haven't yet." Noticed I said yet, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
To see that level of atrocity is just immense. And now, of course, the victims' photographs and names, and we're getting statements, and some of the families have spoken. And when you have a child that age, I have a child a year older than that right now. I was in their school yesterday or Thursday and Tuesday for their Santa shops, picking up little gifts for their grandparents. It's just absolutely mind-bogglingly horrifying.
Yep.
So, you know, how do we combat it? What do we do? Because as much as I hate to say this, Clayton, you and I are going to talk about this again.
Because unfortunately, we're not going to be fixing this problem anytime soon, and that really infuriates me. There is one thing that I think might be worth mentioning, and that is Connecticut has long had 20-something years now, has had a law that requires that firearms must be secured so that they are not accessible by people under 18,
right.
Except with permission of the parent. I can see one minor change that could be made to this statute that, even though the statute itself has been really completely ineffective, if someone wants some sort of symbolic statement, they could go ahead and specify that anyone who has been found to be has been adjudicated unfit to own a firearm, regardless of age, lives in the same house, that you have to keep the firearm locked up. I mean, it wouldn't accomplish terribly much, but it might cause at least some parents in Connecticut to think about it if they have a child that they are not entirely sure is completely stable.
And then we have to expect people to yet again follow the law. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think symbolically speaking, but again, I have to go back to this. We live in a free society, and with great freedom comes great responsibility. And unfortunately, as human beings, not all of us are responsible.
I really fear that it's something I would also emphasize to all of your listeners. There was a period some years ago when I had a relative living in the house with us who was going through a very difficult teenage set of years, and every firearm was secured quite vigorously until this relative managed to get through these very, very chaotic and confusing and at times mentally ill years. And I would encourage, if you've got someone living in your house, it might be a teenager having some serious problems right now, it may be appropriate for you to reevaluate, do I have everything properly secured so that this person won't do something stupid, perhaps suicide? You'd be amazed how many teenagers, they're heartsick about a relationship that's broken up, and they do something stupid, a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Good, sound gun safety practices.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Now, do I have a problem with that being legislated? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Again, we're going to have to leave that fodder for another conversation. Clayton, we've come to the end of the broadcast. I can't thank you enough for joining me on such short notice. Thank you very much. Incredibly powerful hour.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will have you on again very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters with my producer, Sean, down in Dallas. Very difficult 3 hours, very powerful 3 hours. I think it's safe to say that it was probably the hardest-hitting broadcast here in the Armed American Radio studio we've ever had. But remember, carry on, carry often, and carry everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. No self-respecting caveman would ever get caught with the inability to defend his cavelings. This has been the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Walmart.
We go. The horse is the way to carry.
All the fix-ins for Thanksgiving, like Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Checkout lane with Nestle Carnation Baking Kits and Libby's Pumpkin Pie Filling.
Wherever the pumpkin pie is.
Walmart has everything you need to be ready for a great Thanksgiving meal, backed by our ad match guarantee. Our stores will match the price of any local competitor's printed ad for an identical product. Not applicable to Walmart.com. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Trinity.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and improve your credit score. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-936-5496. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call now or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
Trinity.
1-800-936-5496.